A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on here?
Resistance is futile.
This,
indeed you are, Paul,
is...
It's in my hand, Paul!
Fan Effect.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of Fan Effect. I'm Andy Farnsworth, your host, and today, 2020's in the rearview mirror, now it's 2021. Unfortunately, we were not able to get together in Salt Lake for Fan X 2020, and now we're on to Fan X 2021. Or are we? Well, that's what we're going to find out today. We have a fun conversation coming up with FanX founder Dan Farr. He's an entrepreneur, an imagineer, a creator, a producer, a friend, passionate about anything he engages in, and most importantly to him, a husband and father. But one of his passions is FanX Salt Lake, and we are so excited to talk to him again. It's been almost a year since we last talked to him. One of the main reasons he's joining us today is because of a big announcement. The first guests lined up for FanX 2021. You can get tickets for FanX, or at least find out a little bit more, FanXSaltLake.com, and he's going to tell us. And I have to say, I'm not going to spoil it here. Maybe you already know, but I am really excited about the first two guests that he has invited. So let's talk to Dan Farr. Thank you for joining me, Dan Farr, the owner, founder, and producer of FanX. Dan, before we talk about the big guest announcement that you made today, which, believe me, I have plenty to say about that in a good way.
Good.
The last time we talked, it was 2020, and we were getting close. It was a few months before 2020 FanX was scheduled to happen. We had hopes that it was going to be able to come together. You had guests. Towards the middle of summer, it was still looking pretty good, and then case counts started to rise, and eventually you had to come to the tough decision to call off FanX 2020 and break the hearts of the people who bought tickets and who were looking forward to coming. Tell me just a little bit before we get into 2021, what was that last little bit like when you finally realized, look, we just can't do it this year, and how tough was that of a decision for you to have to finally just go and say, look, we can't do it?
Boy, I'll tell you, you kind of go through in college, in business classes, whatever, you go through lifeboat exercises where they try to teach you how to make hard decisions, but nothing can prepare you for making a decision at that level, because it did go so much beyond just a economic decision. Obviously any sort of business, economics are going to have impact on decisions you make, but it went so far beyond any economic decision to really, do we go ahead with the event and risk people's health and becoming, us contributing to becoming a super spreader event and, ultimately, likely leading to the deaths of people somewhere down the line, whether it was the people that got exposed at the event that it then exposed somebody else or even directly people at the event passing away as a result of contracting COVID because they attended an event that we held, that's a life or just death decision. You usually don't, in business, you're not usually faced with that sort of thing.
Right.
But, so there's that aspect of it. But on the alternative is, when we announced that we were canceling, we literally had some people say, you realize that if you guys cancel, your people are going to not know what to do with themselves. I mean, they basically said you're killing people by canceling, because that people, they look so forward to it. It's that one kind of light at the end of the tunnel of everything that people have been going through. And they become so emotionally invested in the event. And so it was tough. It was tough to hear that. I mean, I hope and I pray that nobody was so distraught over us canceling the event that they did something harmful to themselves.
Right.
I hope that didn't happen. I believe it didn't happen. But I think ultimately we had to go with what was the best for the community we live in. And you know, regardless of, you know, economically, obviously that wasn't an easy thing to handle, but we've been able to handle it fine. But it's not a, yeah, economically, we've been able to keep people working, you know, safe. You know, I'd say thanks to some of the programs and then the grants we've got from the state and things like that, it's helped us weather this. That, you know, I we're a healthy business. We'll stay that way. And, you know, fortunately, because of that, it's helped us weather the storm economically. But emotionally, it really did take its toll for us as a team that produces the event. We miss the interaction with everybody. And maybe I'm kind of going on a little long about this, but
not at all.
I would say, for me, when we've built the team around us, as we grow our internal team, one of the leading factors is we find people that, you know, it's not just, well, let's see what your resume says. You know, we find people that truly love what we do. And it really is, it's a team that takes this very personal on, you know, doing the events. We do it because we love it, not necessarily because, well, that's what we went to college for. That's what our business career has led us to. We're doing a job here. It's so much more than a job. It really has become, you know, just like so many attendees that get involved in the event, that it becomes more than just a 3-day event once a year, or if we do the 2 events a year, you know, 5 days of event. It becomes so much more than that. And, you know, and it's just like that for us. It's, you know, we miss it. And we, you know, we do look forward to the time that we can get together again safely. And we are incredibly optimistic that will be this year. You know, I think when we had talked in the summer last year, we knew that there was a high risk. You know, we knew that we were getting to a point where it was becoming more and more risky. You know, we were still full-blown hoping for the event, but we knew that there was a risk that we would have to cancel it. And but now, I mean, I look at it incredibly optimistically because of the vaccine, because of a lot of factors that will have a chance to get a root hold before the event. And also, you know, we will probably have some things in place. You know, I can't say now that we're going to require masks, because I don't know that that's going to be necessary at that time. We may encourage masks if it's not required, or if we're going to have different social distancing measures. I'm not sure.
The good news is that FanX is probably the best place. You can just incorporate a mask into your cosplay, and
exactly.
There you go. I mean, maybe you'll see a few more Sub-Zeros and Scorpions from Mortal Kombat,
yes,
or other types of ninjas.
Bane.
But
you got Bane, too, right?
You got Bane, that's right. Yeah, you could actually wear a gas mask.
Yeah, yes. So that's, we definitely can work that into the costumes with people, but I'm optimistic that those people who don't feel like they want to wear a mask maybe won't have to by the time the event comes around, but
right,
you know, maybe. But
I've got a suggestion here first, Dan. You heard it here first.
Yeah,
one of the subcategories for cosplay this year for awards: most creative use of a mask.
I know where you're going. That is an amazing idea. I think that's great. So the most creative incorporation, you know,
so that means that people like the really awesome Mortal Kombat or the Bane, those are cool, but we're looking for like something really creative. Like if somebody's like such a fantastic
ritual
makeup artist that they could actually paint their own face over the mask, kind of a thing.
Yes, that's a great idea. I love that.
Just a thought.
No, here's the thing is, you know, even if we were to rewind back a couple years before COVID, there are still issues of people would go to a convention, they come back and they say, yeah, we've got called it the con crud.
Yes, I got it a couple of years before. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, so I guess the thing is no matter where we are on the level of the vaccine and public requirements and things like that,
With that many people close together, it can't hurt to wear one.
Yeah. People still may want to do it. You know, so if it's optional, especially, people still may want to find ways to incorporate a mask. I don't know that everybody, I think they say that everybody's going to have option to have the vaccine by that time. But there still may be people that choose not to for whatever reason, and health reasons or whatever it may be. So whatever happens in that regard, I love that suggestion. I'm actually writing it down as we're talking, because I don't want to forget that idea.
Well, I think that'd be a fun way to do it. And, I have high hopes too. I hope that there's still ways for the one of the funnest things about FanX is the celebrity meet and greets and getting a chance to get up close. I'm hoping that there's a way to safely do it where people will still feel like they get to have that interaction, especially, in the autograph lines. And, I'm hoping that we can have the same kind of feeling. But I can't imagine that there's anybody, even if they're disappointed, that would be like angry that the celeb may not want to hug or get as close as they have in some of the others in the past. I can't believe, especially after all we know now that we didn't really know a year ago, I'm sure there'd be disappointment, guaranteed. I mean, I'd feel disappointed, but I don't think anybody would be angry or upset, because, it works two ways. Like, they come and they get to have a cool experience where everybody, looks up to them and sees them and wants to meet them. And they make some money too, but it's also cool for us to get a chance to meet them. And so it's a two way street, and we don't want them to get sick. I mean, part of the reason we know them is because they weren't too sick to make the products that we like to watch them in.
Right. No, that's exactly right. I mean, we have a responsibility to keep people healthy. If we're bringing in celebrity guests and things, it is important that we not subject them to sickness and things. And, what's interesting is, this is a new angle on it, but we always felt that, in the past, with Stan Lee, his last appearance with us that he had scheduled, when he canceled it, it was the right thing. His doctor, he had been sick. He had pneumonia or something leading up to it, or he had been sick leading into it, and he was hoping to be better. And I don't know if people remember, I'm sure there'll be some listeners that will remember kind of the back and forth with it. It was is he going to come? And we didn't know. We really didn't know until the Monday or Tuesday. It was just right before the show was going to happen. His management team kept the option open as long as they could. But his doctor said, I recommend that you not travel. And, he gave him the choice. It's well, you can travel. You can do it, but I recommend you not. And it's wait a second. Would we want to be the ones that oh, come on, just do it. Talk him into it, push hard, and to have him come out and have that, he would have passed away if that would have been something that.
Right, right. You would. We'd never forgive ourselves.
No. We've got to put the safety of people first. The health and safety of people. And anyway, we did get the opportunity that he did a nice video panel for people at that show, so they at least got to hear him talk and have that interaction with him. But if we need to have fun together, we need to have a great time, but we also need to do it responsibly.
Yes.
And that's always the juggling act that we have to deal with in all of this. And how much do you lean one direction or the other? It's always hard to know, and we do the best we can and try to make it as safe as possible and make it so that people can express themselves and have a great time. And, because it, especially in today's world, boy, do we not need something like this more than ever? I look at this. We need it.
Just think, and this is before we'll take a break here before we talk about the big guest announcement. But when it's safe to get together in those large groups again, not if, when, because it will be a when. Yep. Just think, it's going to be the best party in Salt Lake City of the year by far. When whether it's, and I've got all faith and fingers crossed for 2021, September of 2021 is going to be the best party in Salt Lake City of the whole year. I mean, we'll have a year and a half, almost 2 years of pent up excitement to just have FanX. But to layer in the school closures and then having to be home, and we couldn't go anywhere for Christmas, we couldn't go anywhere for Thanksgiving, and then when we can, maybe we should add an extra day to FanEx. I say we as if I get to run it.
That's a great idea. Yeah, I wish we could. You know, that we are always constricted by venue availability and things, but I do foresee a day when we get to being able to have 4-day events.
I was just going to say four this year because we had to wait a whole year. But
yeah, I know we need to. No, it's unfair.
I mean, I got my refillable drink mug, you know, the one that you can get all the different flavors of sodas, and I haven't even had a chance to use it for the whole entire year.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had to use it on sodas at home. That's not the same.
Yeah. You're totally right. I mean, we're missing out.
All right. Well, Dan, let's take a break. And then when we come back, we will talk about the big, giant announcement. It has to do with snakes. Love it. All right.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dan Farr, FanEx founder, FanEx owner, FanEx producer, FanEx the guy who gets us the guys and girls that we like to talk to and see at FanEx. All right, FanEx, 2020 is over. It's in the rearview mirror. We're focusing solely on 2021. And we had a giant guest announcement today, and you couldn't have made it at a better time, in my opinion, Dan. Just for those people who maybe hadn't heard yet, I'm going to let you tell us who the two big headliners are that you announced today, and then, I've got some things to say.
Oh, that's good to hear. Well, we've had a fun time just kind of warming up with some teases and things to get people excited about it. And you mentioned before the commercial about the snakes. Well, when you think of snakes, you think of what, maybe one of the more visible snakes, a cobra, like a snake that people think of as Cobra Kai.
I think of cobras when I think of snakes.
You do, right? I mean, that's definitely at the top of the list, towards the top of the list. So we have the announcements. What's fun is these are people that we had actually booked but never announced for last year's event. And so now we were able to rebook them and to reconfirm them. And like you said, the timing is perfect with the release of season 3 of Cobra Kai. So we are right now, we have Martin Cove and William Zabka. Cobra Kai. There we go.
I love that. Cobra Kai, I'm going to just tell you this right now. I have never binge watched an entire season of a show that was new. Like, I binge watched a season of The Office once when I was sick and I was laying at home all day. But I've never done the thing where it's like, I'm just going to watch the whole thing right now, even though I may have other things that I need to do, except twice. Season 2 of Cobra Kai and season 3 of Cobra Kai. Season 3, I kid you not, I was just going to watch a couple of episodes the day after it launched, and then I'd get through it through the New Year's weekend. 7 episodes later, it was bedtime, and I was like, I got to go to bed. I think my wife had already gone to bed. So I legit all the way, pajamas, took out the contacts, laid down in bed, lights out, laid there for 5 minutes. And I was like, I'm not sleeping. I'm going to go finish the last three episodes. I just have to. Went right back downstairs. Didn't even put the contacts back in because I had to watch the last three episodes. Loved, loved, loved it. I would say outside of Back to the Future and obviously Star Wars. Star Wars is my number one fandom. But Karate Kid is probably the movie that I've seen the most in my life outside of Star Wars or Back to the Future. And it might even be more than Back to the Future.
Isn't that amazing? That franchise. And I'll tell you what was so cool about it is obviously, you know, they kind of had their run when they initially came out. What did they get to? They got to Karate Kid 3, right?
They kind of slowly, you know, nothing's going to top the first one.
The second one
was still good. The third one had its moments, but mostly was like not that great anymore and was doing weird things. And then they had the one with Hilary Swank, which I didn't actually see until just a few years ago. But it had Mr. Miyagi and Hilary Swank. It's called The Next Karate Kid.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that. I don't think I saw it. Yeah.
Well, I mean, maybe somebody from it's going to show up in Cobra Kai, but I don't think you need to watch it until someone from it shows up in Cobra Kai.
You're right. Yeah, if you go back and figure out the backstory. Well, I'll tell you that they've done such a great job. And what's amazing is how they just, you know, kind of organically relaunched it. I don't know. Did you see it before it was on Netflix?
I did. I actually watched it when it was on YouTube Red and then YouTube Premium and then Netflix. Yeah. So by the time everybody got around to it on Netflix, we'd already actually done two podcasts about it.
Really?
We did one for each season because, you know, I went into the first one and they made the first two episodes available for everybody on YouTube to hook you essentially. And then the rest of it you had to pay for. And I mean, I saw the trailer and it made me laugh and it made me want to see it. But I also was kind of like, are they doing this as a comedy? What are they doing with this? Like, I don't know what they're going for. Is this a spoof? Is this a satire? But I watched the first two episodes and I saw that there was funny moments, but it was like, it sucked me in so completely. Yeah. I was like living in the Karate Kid world of Southern California karate for like a week after I watched each season.
Isn't it? You know what? I'll tell you, it's amazing how they've been able to build it on that. And when you obviously saw it on YouTube, I can't imagine that it had anywhere near the type of viewership that was able to be generated through Netflix and everything.
Absolutely not at all. I mean, it's been number one on Netflix this entire week. Number one on Netflix. The previous two seasons were number one for like a week and a half when they dropped them back in September. And now the third season's been number one essentially since the moment it came out. It's been the number one show.
I love that because, you know what, I have to say, Ralph Macchio, you know, we had him as a guest. And what a wonderful, just nice person. And then, you know, I'll tell you what really impressed me. I had met him maybe once or twice leading up to him coming out to our event. But you got to think about him. He probably meets hundreds of promoters, you know, different event promoters. And, you know, he's gone to enough different shows that I've got to imagine it blurs together. But I was in Dallas going on 2 years ago now when they had a convention and Ralph was there and I was at the booth next to his, which was Linda Carter's booth. And I was talking to the manager there because Linda had just done our show and then had gone over there. And I was talking to her and Ralph looks over at me and sees me and he goes, "Hey, Mr. Farr, how you doing?" I mean, right.
Wow.
It wasn't like he, you know, unless he had like looked and spotted me before. And you know how when you see somebody, you know, and you go, "Wait, now who is that guy?"
Right.
"Hey, who? I know him from some, you know, and maybe, I don't know, maybe somebody tipped him off or whatever, but I was blown away that he knew who I was because it's not, you know, it's not like we went to dinner or did anything like that. You know, when the celebrities come in, we do get a chance to talk, but there's some that you talk on a more detailed, you know, more extensive level and you maybe go out to eat with them or you do something where you would expect that. But when he remembered who I was just by looking at me, I was blown away. I was so impressed. You know, it just shows what a thoughtful person he is to just recognize people. And you know, I commented to him, I said, "You remember me?" He says, "Oh yeah, I remember." And he also mentioned, he goes, "I remember meeting you at some of these other shows with your sons. Are you serious?" I mean, he actually recalled, you know, when we were introduced and I had my sons at some different shows with me. And I was so impressed by that. And I really, gained even a higher level of appreciation for Ralph, but also just when he was at our event and the way that he interacted with the fans. To me, I might, before having celebrities come out, I may not necessarily be a big fan of them. You know, it's not like I'd say more indifferently, you know, I mean, I might be indifferent towards someone, but then I come out and I see them interacting with the fans and making them so happy. It's just all of a sudden I become a huge fan of them just because of that. You know,
I've had a similar feeling as I've walked the floor, you know, at FanX, at the Spring FanX, and even at GamerCon when there's some of the, you know, some of the voiceover artists. And it's really neat to see, because like maybe I don't know who everybody is, right? Or maybe I never watched the show. Yeah. Like you had some of the new kids on the block. I think Joey Fatone came to the one 2 years ago. And yeah. I never listened to them. And I'd never, like, I mean, I was, like, the wrong age for New Kids on the Block, and I was a boy. But the way that a couple of friends of mine were just, like, so over the moon to meet him, and I watched how he was really cool with everybody in the line. And, you know, it's easy to get a cynical thought and just think, oh, these celebrities, they're just here for the money. You know, they're going to be rude. And they're not, like, they're really so kind. Even John Cusack, who was very brusque with us because we were media, and that's fair. Yeah. But I watched him from a distance, and he was not like that at all with the fans. He was just like that with us, with the media. And I'm okay with that because, you know, we weren't paying to see him. We weren't having that opportunity to be up. But it's really cool to watch some of the interactions. Vanessa Marshall, who voices a lot of different characters in fandoms right now. This was her first con that you guys got her to go to about, I think it was 3 years ago. And we got a chance to talk to her at the opening thing. And then we talked to her later in the, maybe on the Saturday of the show. And she was so, so nice. She gave us a hug. I mean, like, I was like, wow, Hera from Star Wars Rebels is giving me a hug.
Yeah.
And it was just really cool. Like, she didn't have to do any of that. I've always joked, like, I never want to be rude to somebody, but you could get, you know, professional me. Like, I may not say much to you. I won't be rude, but I may not actually engage you in any dialogue either. Like, my answers will be yes or no, and they'll be polite, but they won't be looking to add something to the conversation. But, and you know, my insecurities are always like, that's how they're going to be with me. I just know it. So then when they're not, it's just that much better. You're just like, wow, that they're really, really cool. And it makes you a bigger fan of them.
It absolutely does. And I have to tell you that story you mentioned, John Cusack, that actually makes me happy because I had a similar interaction as you had as media, as the show producer. I spoke with him and he was very nice, but very professional, like you're saying, like very just not adding to the conversation, you know, not engaging. But to hear that he was doing that with the fans, that makes me want to bring him back all this, you know, all the sooner. You know, it's like, I don't mind if somebody, you know, they don't have to be my best friend to make me want to bring him back. You know, they could hate me as far as I'm concerned, as long as they treat the fans fantastic. You know, if they do that, they're, you know, because there are some people that maybe. And by the way, I hope that nobody hates me. I think that I've had good relations or interactions with everybody. But I think that, you know, there's been some that, you know, maybe better as far as how they were behind the scenes than others. But
sure.
They treat their fans so well. You just say, you know what, I would hate to not have that person come back again because they had this interaction with the staff or whatever, because, you know, ultimately if when it all comes down to, if they're creating fan experiences, I love to have those people around. And, you know, even if they are a little bit more challenging, you know, maybe they need the Perrier water.
They need a little bit more extra behind the scenes care than some other guest perhaps. But
And I had an interesting experience, you know, with Mark Hamill. Very nice. You know, I went to go pick him up at the airport and picked up him and his wife. You know, he flew in private. That's how we were able to get him to come to the event, just because timing wise, that's the only thing that worked out. So we picked him up at the private airport and I was there with him because I wanted to greet him and his wife. And he wasn't interactive at all with me. His wife was, and his daughter more so, but he wasn't. But I was fine with that. And then when I saw him at the show, you know, everything was just, you know, there wasn't that, hey, let's talk about something together, whatever, you know. And And I walked back in one of the rooms that he was just back there reading and, you know, just kind of chilling out, maybe looking at the internet. I don't know. And I walked back and, you know, he didn't really interact with me. And then some of my kids came in, walked in, and all of a sudden he pops up and he's talking to them. And he pulls out these little cards that he had signed, you know, in his wallet or whatever. And he says, here, you guys. And it's
really?
Like, oh, my gosh, I don't care. He doesn't have to say a word to me. I mean, I'd love to talk with Mark Hamill and just, you know, talk about
hang out with Luke Skywalker.
Exactly. How fun would that be? But you know what? When I saw how he interacted with them, it meant all the world to me. You know, it's like, okay, I'm fine because I'd rather see, because that means so much more to them. And I say my kids, it was a group of kids, you know, that they were able to just talk with a couple, you know, three kids or so. He just lit up, you know, it's like all of a sudden it just turned on. He lit up, he engaged them, he left them with something. And you know what?
Well, that's like the trifecta. Really, I mean, that really is. You don't want to feel like you're a burden on their time, even if in the back of your mind you might be thinking, oh, I'm such a burden on their time. But if they don't act like that, it just makes you feel like 10 times better, even better.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing for me as a producer is I really try to read cues with people. And, you know, if I don't feel like when John Cusack, you know, like,
right.
I didn't feel like he wanted to engage in a conversation. I'm not going to sit there and start talking about Aunt Fanny's bunion that's named after him or something like that. You know, he doesn't want to hear that. He needs some time to decompress so he can turn it back on when he talks to the fans.
Yeah. And so, that's the thing. I'm glad you said that because, and it kind of goes with Mark Hamill too. I mean, you have to be on. You realize that you're performing, even if you're, you know, even if a camera's not necessarily rolling, you're performing, you know, they're coming to see you. They're excited to see you. And so you don't want to just be like, yeah. So, you know, I did this thing and I did that thing. And I heard from the people that were his panel with Joan that they just did a really great job together. He talked about how he remembered filming at Alta when he did Better Off Dead here back in the 80s. He did well with the fans. And so that's why I said, I'm the same way. If when I get a chance to interview him or talk to him and they're just cool beyond that, that's just a bonus to me. John Rhys-Davies was like that. He was, he was so cool. He would have talked to me forever. And I'm almost like, I don't ever want to stop talking, but I feel like maybe I should let you talk to some other people too. Whereas Hayden Christensen and Ena McDiarmid, you know, they were up at the Children's Hospital when they did an appearance up there.
Yes.
They, you know, I kind of steered clear of them. I knew that, but I watched John Rhys-Davies. He sat there and he talked with this kid like that. They were just both looking out the window. And I'm not even 100% sure the kid knew what some of the roles he'd been. But when he was talking to the little kids, he was willing to go into character. He said some lines as Gimli to a couple of little kids. And the kids, I don't think, got it. But the parents were just like, oh, my gosh, do you realize? And it was just I love watching that. And to me, that's the favorite thing about what you do at FanX and getting people to come to town is when people get to have that kind of an experience. Because, I mean, here's my brush with celebrity when I was 13, Dan. My mom was driving us down the street in our van, and we were down right in front of the old Salt Palace, and the Jazz were playing the Lakers in the playoffs in 1988. And I saw Kareem Abdul-Jabbar on the sidewalk, okay?
Oh, wow.
He's on the sidewalk in front of the Marriott Hotel, and it was Marriott at the time. I don't know what it is now. And my mom's like, look, it's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And I was a huge basketball fan, and I said, oh, it is. And she's like, you should get his autograph. And, you know, I was half asleep until she said that. And then I'm scrambling and we're stopped at a red light. And I open the side door on the van and I'm like, hey, Kareem. And he looks at me and I'm like, can I get your autograph? And he just kind of shakes his head and starts running. And I was like, and Michael Thompson, who was another Laker player, was behind him, starts laughing. And that was about that moment is when it dawned on me, what a ridiculous thing I was asking. Like, I'm in the middle of traffic. Am I supposed to run through traffic to get over to the sidewalk? And what if the light changes? Is my mom going to have to drive off and leave me? So that was my brush with fame. And we don't, you know, unless maybe you catch somebody up at Sundance, you know, the odds that you're going to run into somebody of star power, of Hollywood power, it's not high here in Salt Lake. And so to get this thing every year, it's such a fun thing to look forward to. And, you know, William Zabka, now he goes by Billy to his friends, just so you know.
Yeah, that, That's what I've heard. Billy is what people at management or anybody that talk about him refer to him as Billy.
But you also get Martin Cove, who is one of the most terrifying people for everyone under the age of 40 from the 1980s. Mm-hmm. He was terrifying. And now I've seen him do some interviews, like on some radio shows and stuff. He's a super nice guy. And of course, he does that commercial, I think, for, is it Geico, where he runs a karate dojo of Panda and you hugs are given instead of punches. And so I know that that's not his real personality, but I part of me wants to sit there at his booth and watch people afraid to go up to him, even though they want to go up and talk to him.
Yeah, you're totally right, because, you know, some of these actors do such a great job of becoming a character on screen that it's hard to imagine them not being that when you meet them in person. You know, you expect to find this, you know, hardened vet, you know, that prisoner of war type thing. You know, it's
right.
Basically the things that we learn what makes him who he is. You know, you expect to see that type of character, but he worked on a film out here, and I know some people that worked with him on that film, and they just say he's so wonderful, really nice guy. And so I think it would be fun to watch people, you know, coming up with one expectation of who he may be, and see an interaction that's completely different than that.
And William Zabka, now, one of the things about Cobra Kai is this show doesn't work if Billy Zabka isn't as good as Johnny as he has been. I mean, just this, he's got to do a lot. Like, he can't just be Bully Johnny from 1984. And the way, I mean, to credit to the writers who've written him really well, but he has to pull it off as to be someone that, you know, you're watching this and you remember how much you hated Johnny. People my age, anyway, are watching and remembering how much they hated Johnny for all those years. And yet within like one episode, you're already kind of sympathetic with him. And then you're going on this thing and you already like Daniel, or, you know, I did anyway. Daniel was my favorite. But
but
then you find yourself a few episodes into Cobra Kai's first season, you're kind of like, Daniel and Johnny, all you guys got to do is talk to each other. You need to be friends. You need to be friends. And credit to the writers, they keep it from happening too quickly, although I think that's where they're building towards. But he has to pull it off. And so it's not just this kid. Either there's a lot of meta stuff going on where you could say, well, I haven't seen Billy Zabka or William Zabka in anything since The Karate Kid or those 80s movies where he played the teenage bully. So this whole idea of him being a loser in the show, there's that kind of subconscious. We kind of wonder in our minds, like, is the actor kind of like this too? but you can see he is the emotional like crux of the show, and it's amazing. He's done an amazing job, in my opinion.
I totally agree. I mean, it is something that he has. That's why it's engaging. I think had they taken you down the path of the prior Karate Kids, where you really only empathize with
it's just
character.
The one point of view. It's the one Daniel's point of view.
Yeah. And if they had done that, I think they couldn't have gone where they've gone. They couldn't have made it so engaging. And then, of course, you know, it's always fun to have the Easter eggs in there.
Yes.
You know, this last season and going back and introducing characters. Was that Karate Kid 2?
Yes, Chosen and Kumiko that we saw in the trailer. Now, I do have a question, and maybe you can't say anything yet, and I realize that there's a lot in flux between now and September, but since we have two stars of Cobra Kai, is there any chance...
You'd think somebody else would come along with it, right?
Well, I was just wondering, maybe some of the younger people like Sholo Maradueña or Mary Mauser, who plays Samantha, or the guy who plays Hawk, Jacob Bertrand. I didn't know if any feelers have been out to any of some of the younger cast, too, to come to this, along with the legacy characters.
So far, I don't know that they've done any of these events yet, but I think after this season, I think they're probably going to be more interested in doing that, especially if we can, you know, we do want to try to coordinate more formally with them, which we were, you know, with the production company. We were actually working towards doing some stuff like that before.
Yeah, that's true. They do have to make the next season, so we don't want to get in the way of that.
Yeah, but also just from the standpoint, you know, they may want to just to kind of, as they're building this great brand, they may want to try to
make some additional stars available too.
Exactly. Yeah, and I'll say this is, you know, before COVID, you know, we would have had Ralph, you know, Ralph was booked for last year.
So we would have had all three of them.
We would have had all three of them.
Would have been.
And I'll say this is, you know, right now, I mean, I just put it on the table. Right now, Ralph is being careful and has not agreed to come and do any event, you know, our event this year or any events. But who knows what's going to happen in a few months. Maybe there could be a change of mind. Let's just say that we would welcome him, you know.
Whenever he said yes. Even if he said yes the week of.
Exactly. If he, you know, that's an open door for him. And if I were a betting man, I'd say there's a chance, right? You know,
okay.
I think there's a chance that he may be open to it. He enjoyed Salt Lake. The fans treated him well here. We actually, you know, what's interesting is we had been in discussions with his manager for several years about having him come back. And it was last year when it finally came together that we were going to bring him back. And so there was already that intention, you know, they wanted to get back to Utah. And so I do think that there's, you know, I'd say that there's a good chance. And I wouldn't have anybody bank on it or whatever, but because I wouldn't want to have him feel obligated, because he may just want to not have any social interactions with people to stay healthy. What's interesting is everybody has a different level. You know, there's some people that say, oh, this, you know, COVID doesn't mean anything, you know, right? It's just like the flu, or it's a cold or whatever, you know, and there's other people that are just deathly afraid of it.
Right.
And, you know, but ultimately people have a right to be how they are. You know,
sure.
If they're afraid of it, then let them handle it how they want to.
Or if they just want to be more cautious, just to be sure. You know, that's how we navigated in our own family, in our own neighborhood. So I'll extend the same courtesy to the celebs who are coming. Do you guys have any other celebs that you've already announced that maybe people haven't heard about yet? Or is this the first batch for 2021?
This is the first for coming back around. Now, one thing that people can realize is that a lot of the guests that we had announced before, we're working on re-engaging them for this event. So coming up over the next several months, we'll see some re-announcements of names of people that, you know, that were already announced for last year's show. Just because we postponed that show, we want to bring those people forward. So they're, you know, I think people can, if they paid attention last time, they can assume that quite likely that those people will be back. There may be one or two that have had a schedule change or something, but for the most part, you know, those people, you know, we're going to try to bring the Animaniacs back. People can guess that
my kids are addicted to Animaniacs now. I made them watch a couple of episodes, and now they sing along with the theme song.
Yeah, see, and so, you know, people can assume, I think, that Jess Harnell is going to be at pretty much whatever we have a show.
He's awesome. He is awesome.
He's made the announcement. He said, he goes, it doesn't matter if they invite me back or not. I'm coming back. You know, I'll just get a booth on my own, and I'll be here. So just plan on me being here. Now, he says it, but of course, we love having him. He's been such a supporter, and it goes along so well with the Twisted Tunes panel, because he really is the heart of that panel when we do it. And so we love having Jess come back. And, you know, there's a lot of other people that, you know, now is when we start kind of really forming the lineup that we're going to have for this year. And the other thing is, like, the Tom Hollands of the world, they don't usually book
nine
months in advance.
Right.
No,
that makes sense. Didn't we almost have Gal Gadot one year?
We did. We got pretty close on that. Yeah. Yeah. We were.
She's the most beautiful woman in the entire world.
She's stunning, huh? Yeah. Amazing. Did you see, I shouldn't even ask, of course you've seen Wonder Woman, right?
Yeah, I seem to be one of the few that really liked it. I mean, I've heard a lot of people that didn't enjoy it, but I did, and I think probably a majority of that is credit to her, because I just liked everything she did, and, you know, I saw it and I did like it quite a bit.
If that gets her here, then you can go
ahead and tell her that.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing, that may make her more apt to want to come back. or, you know, if they come to our show, but yeah, if they come back to doing conventions, because she's only done a couple of fan conventions, and, you know, so hopefully if we could get her, that would be fantastic.
Well, the cool thing, and maybe this, I don't know if this is something that you guys have thought about, is by having so many pop culture things shelved for the year 2020. I mean, not just the events, but like movies and shows and things that we were expecting to have already been released and we'd be waiting on the next round. They're all pushed into 2021. So, you know, we don't know between now and September what's going to become the super hot mega thing. You know, who would have thought that Enola Holmes would be so well liked? I mean, maybe it's been pretty good and we kind of liked Millie Bobby Brown already, but there's something that hasn't been released yet that is going to happen between now and FanX. And, you know, and maybe we've already, maybe you guys have already gotten the lines in the water for that particular celebrity who you don't realize is going to be even a bigger deal when they show up than they were when you announced it. And that's, to me, that's one of the fun things about FanX is you announce the things. And then by the time it actually rolls around, maybe that person that you didn't think was that big a star is suddenly that big a star.
Well, we've had that. You know, Millie Bobby Brown is actually a great example of that for us. You know, we booked her to her into her first U.S. show.
Really?
And yeah, so she, when she came to our show, this whole thing was new to her, and she had such a blast. She was, I don't know if many people know this, but she actually would put on a mask and go out in the crowd,
and she
would talk to people. Well, and here's what she'd do. She'd go and look for kids that are kind of the age group or people that look like, you know, maybe they were wearing
cosplaying Stranger Things.
She'll go talk to them. She'd say, so, you know, what do you think of Stranger Things? And what do you think of 11? You know, and, you know, kind of ask those questions. And then she'd lift her mask and then run off, you know, just kind of like, you know,
that
just
is so
kind
cool.
of, you know, once they knew who she was, that she'd play with them that way. So really kind of fun. I think there's just so many amazing just things that come together serendipitously. Because, you know, I didn't know. When her name was presented to me, I hadn't watched Stranger Things. I didn't know who she was. And the manager said, no, you're going to want this person. But I don't know anything about this. Well, you trust me. You want to bring this person out. Well, okay, let's talk about it. Well, this person needs to bring her family out, and you know, so there was some overhead that came with her,
right.
And I was like, oh man, really?
Am I really doing all this for somebody who I don't know anything about?
Yeah, it's so funny. And then it came together, and she came out, and it's like, oh my gosh, why was I stalling on that one?
Well, I just got to know who to trust, right, Dan? You just have to know who to trust on those kinds of things. Well, it's been I can tell you some things that might be big hits, but who knows? My mom said all my taste was in my mouth, but we'll see if that if that's true.
I think you know your way around this topic pretty well.
Well, thank you. And I do have kids. Yeah. They help me. Like, my daughter would be first in line for Millie Bobby Brown right now. Or if you got anybody from Grey's Anatomy, she would just be over the moon.
But, wow. Yeah.
She watched that against my wishes. I think I just need to put that out into the public domain that was not with my blessing, but she's watched it all. And any rate, but Dan, thank you for the time today. It's always such a fun time talking to you and hearing some of the behind the scenes stories. And, you know, you're kind of the stand in for a lot of us who don't maybe don't get a chance to get an autograph of somebody, or who there wasn't room in the panel and we had to watch it online later. But we know that you got to hang with them even. And it sounds like you get treated the same way we do sometimes, where it's just, hey, okay, he's here for everybody, not me. I happen to get to be here and stand next to him, but that's all right. And I am so looking forward to the 2021 party, looking forward to hearing future announcements of guests. And I got fingers crossed that we can get to it this year. Like, it's going to happen. Good thoughts.
It will. It's going to. We're going to be positive. We'll put the right energy out there, and we'll do what we need to do behind the scenes to make sure that this is going to be the best party we've ever had.
Awesome. Well, Dan, thank you. I know we will talk again before FanX rolls around. Thank you again so much for your time.
I sure look forward to it. Thanks a lot, Andy. Good talking with you.
Okay. Well, Dan Farr, fun to talk to. So glad to have him on. And we thank you again for listening to this episode of Fan Effect. It's Utah's fandom and fan culture podcast. It's also a KSL News Radio podcast, and it's sponsored by Megaplex Theaters, Utah's premier movie entertainment company. I'm Andy Farnsworth. And hey, you know what? Listen regularly on your favorite platform. You know, if you're just joining us off of the web or a link that you saw on Facebook or social media, we'd love for you to become a subscriber. You can listen to us at kslnewsradio.com. You can listen to us on the KSL News Radio app or anywhere you get a podcast. Do you have a fun idea or local fan culture topic for Utah that you'd like us to explore? Let us know by messaging our Facebook page at Fan Effect Show. That's E-F-F-E-C-T. Where you can also get the latest nerdly updates and join the conversation. Follow us on Instagram at Fan Effect Show and on Twitter at Fan Effect Show. Thanks again for listening. I hope to have you back real soon for another episode of Fan Effect.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.